You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Diablo's Den, Corona Chronicles number 19. I'm your co-host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with the one and only Danny Diablo, a.k.a. Lord Ezek.
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
Yo, we're going to have to definitely come up with a new name after, I think for 20, we're going to come up with something different instead of Corona Chronicles. Time to
Let's just go back to Diablo's Den podcast.
Yeah, we'll just go on to Diablo's and we'll come up with a new sub thing because it's time to move on in life. So, we're going to start this episode off a couple sad things just to
to
get out of the way. So I'll let you actually start first with actually what we've just found out recently. So go ahead, man. I'll let you kick it off.
Well, yesterday I found out Hoyer's brother, David, who I grew up with, like my older brother, was an older brother to all of us. Like, he's the first guy in the hardcore scene, got Hoyer in the hardcore scene. First guy, he was down with the older guys, the Sick of It All guys, and Devil was the Sick of All, like, Brody, stuff like that, and Craig Ahead. He was just all around, taught us everything about life. Hoyer's brother, Hoyer from Madball's brother, Dave, passed away yesterday. And out of nowhere, you know what I mean? And it just broke my heart yesterday when Warren called me up. I just cried and broke down because it's not just from hardcore. A lot of people think it's just hardcore. No, this is we found each other. Then we got into hardcore. Do you understand? So it's like my big brother. When I lived in the house, you know, I lived right next to his room. Do you know what I mean? So he taught us everything, you know, and what a gentle giant. And what a great guy. And Hoyer's mother passed away last year, so he died this year. So my heart goes out to Hoyer so much.
Yeah, man.
He has two kids. Hoyer's baby's mother died like 10 years ago, left him. He's a single father. You mean?
Kids. My heart hurts for his family, man.
His son's lost his abuela, you know, Hoyer's mother, their abuela, and I miss you so much. Hoy's mom was such a great person. She's like my second mom. People don't understand. Like we grew up in a fucked up environment in Queens, in Corona, Jackson Heights, and at home, everyone that hung out had a problem childhood. You know what I mean? And Hoy's mother always opened the doors for us to be there. So I lived in Hoy's house during high school. So so it hurt me when Hoy's mother passed away, it killed me. And now Hoy's brother, Big Dave, I love you. I don't even know what to say. I'm tearing right now. I don't want to even feel like this.
Yeah, no,
but
man.
I'm going to miss you, Dave, and I love you, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm just going to, I can't believe that I'm never going to feel like, you know, when his mother died. He held me. We held each other. We both started crying. And right now, that's all I feel like when both our heads hit to each other, holding each other like we're little kids again. You know?
Yeah.
So, I love, you know, he taught me everything. For, you know, like a lot of stuff that people, it was sad, but also a lot of funny shit. You know what I mean? When we're kids, we used to try to jump him. my nickname, he used to call me Hammer. He never called me Ezek or Danny. He called me Hammer, the Hebrew Hammer. And he would taught me to fight people like that he hated. And I remember one time I had a fight. Well, I don't want to say it was someone, but I fucked. We had a fight, and Then I pulled the gun out of the guy, and he was, like, so happy. We're kids. I was like, fuck that. But he always had my back, and I always loved him, man. He's one of them. Dave, I love you so much. He taught us about fucking, like skinhead stuff. He was fucking one of the most diesel motherfuckers in the world. No one could fuck with that nigga. He was the strongest nigga in the world, man.
So yeah, man. Like I said, man, my heart hurts for you, E, and Hoya. Especially, man, like...
love you, Hoya. Remember, yeah, man. No matter all the shit we talk, you know, with the podcast and everything...
It's all in good fun. I know on your guys' end,
Spoken Word. Shout out to Spoken Word Podcast. Shout out to Hoya. Shout out to Hoya's fucking clothing line, Casa de Rock, all that shit. Hoya is my brother. No matter, we make fun of each other and whatever, but that's my brother. And I would kill for Hoya. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, yeah, but you don't know what I would do for my brothers. And that's it. I miss you, Dave. David, I love you, Big Dave. You will always be there. You know, it's crazy because Hoya and I both have brothers named David, and now they're both in heaven together.
Yeah, so, I thought of that. Both of them. I thought of that actually. Yeah, when I heard of the news, dude, and then when you called me, man. So again, you know, dude. Yeah, it's just fucking. My heart hurts for the family, and obviously for all you guys as friends, man. And then we had some other fucking brutal news, man. This was a tough one, too.
Yeah, tell them about that. That's horrible, too.
Yeah, in Connecticut, you know, friend of the podcast, man, and, you know, dude, a really good kid. It hurts my heart to say this one, too, man. I actually can't even believe I'm going to fucking say this on our podcast. But fucking, you know, Thursday, or actually early Friday morning, we lost Tom Brill, who you guys know as the Red Baron. Good friend of mine, you know, really, you know, he'd done a bunch of stuff on the podcast, 29 years old, you know, man, and this is one of those moments where, you know, you feel bad because he had asked me and E to do his little podcast so many times.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
Life gets in the way.
Oh, man.
But I will say that, you know, man, just like you, man, I miss my friend. You know, I caught myself, you know, like... Usually I would send him like some crazy memes, like some real out there shit and shit. And it's just like, man, I can't believe I'm never going to see my friend again. And it's crazy, man, that it's been a real fucking wild time, man. What I am going to ask our listeners, if they can, I know everyone's going through some stuff, but the Red Baron's family could use a hand. There's a GoFundMe set up. I'm going to put that on the page. Again, man, he was a genuinely great kid who supported fucking everybody, man. I mean, go ahead.
He loved comedy too. A lot of comedians knew him.
Yeah, he was friends with his podcast was comedy based. But he was a, you know, an MC. He was
a dope MC. He spit hard in all the ciphers, the grind ciphers, all those ciphers.
Yeah, he was in
a lot of those. He represented for Connecticut, bro.
Yeah,
and he always was part of the hardcore scene. So he when you introduced me to him, he was like such a good kid. I actually told him what to do with touring stuff, and he did it.
Yeah.
He went out and he did everything on himself, so that's cool, bro.
I was helping him out, you know, as well, just doing artwork for him and mentoring him, trying to get, you know, distributing his music and kind of teaching him some stuff. And again, man, it sucks. I'm very sad that I won't get to do artwork at the last minute for this dude or fucking schedule some crazy shit. So fucking, you know, man, and I fucking know that if he could have seen how much love he's getting right now, man, that's all he ever wanted.
Oh, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was a good kid, man. And he would have loved to have been on fucking Diablo's Den, man. And I'm sorry it has to be like this, my dude.
That's
so
all right, dude. Fucking, listen.
Yeah, so shout out to
he's smiling right now.
Now, you know, I you know what I said, man? He was really into psychedelics. I said, yo, he's probably on the best trip right now ever. So fucking knowing Tom. But yeah, man, there's just been a lot of sadness. So, you know, usually on the Diablo's Den show, we usually start off very high energy. But these were two important, you know, obviously people that we knew and friends. And we wanted to fucking to shout them out. So that said, man, fucking let's move on to the show. E.
How about Dave and Red Baron? Fucking we love you and fucking... We miss you. See you guys on the other side.
Yeah, man. And look out for us if you can over here while we're still hanging, you know? So, E, fuck, man. It has been a minute since a new episode. I apologize to the listeners. The last one came out a little bit late. That one fell on me. I was in, I can talk about it now because the album's already out, but I was working on the UB40 album cycle, which you and
red,
I...
Red, red wine.
which you and I were talking about, and that consumed so much of my time between that and the store. So I apologize to the listeners that the episode was late. It was
Don't worry,
a long
tell the listeners that Danny Diablo will be doing a song with you before the end of the
feature. Yeah. We're going to, you know, we're going to have
me the redhead guy. I know those niggas are fucking gangster.
Yeah, no, we're going to have to arrange something, man, for sure. So, but now it's back on and we're excited, man. We got a cool show today and I was really looking forward to recording with you, E, just especially after all the fucking shitty news that we've been getting. It's nice to talk to you and laugh, and we're going to fucking exchange some stories. So, yo, per usual, man, what's been going on in the world? I was going to say, right. I was like, I know that you guys, and I'm sure the listeners have always think that we're just plugging this Spick thing at the top of every episode, but...
Oh, Spick.
Well, because I feel like every episode, I'm like, what's new? And it's like, oh, the Spick record. But no, we're not going to plug that this one. This time. We're going to talk about the video that you just filmed, right? So you guys just filmed
I'm going to tell you something right now. Check this out. So basically, last Thursday, almost a week ago, I had a record release party for my album, the Danny Diablo, the Triz, hosted by DJ Khaled.
I saw that. Of course, my fucking lit. Yeah.
So I threw a fucking party, bro. And this is the first time me back playing live. We played at Arrogant Swine in Brooklyn. And it was a fucking sold out show.
That's awesome.
I'm telling you, everyone came out. And also, I want to tell you right now, who performed that night was Concrete Dream. Killed it.
Shout out Jeremiah and Concrete Dreams and Donnie.
Creature LeGoth. That's a trap goth.
Like, wow.
He just went to Prayer's house to chill with Prayer's. Kat Von D's husband is working with this guy. So Creature LeGoth is a Puerto Rican goth trap guy. So he looks like a little vampire.
That's
this nigga
crazy.
Killed it, all right? Also, then we got Jerry X from Dead Crew. Jerry X killed it.
Yeah, we had Jerry X on the show.
Jerry X is cool. I tell you, Jerry X is Brazilian, adopted by Italians. So he speaks fluent Italian, fluent Brazilians, and English. So and he's in Monkey Pup. So how crazy is that?
Crazy.
All right, so that's that. All right. So then,
let me
Tubbs
ask you, how was it?
Tubbs,
hold on, let me ask
Blas, you. Blas, 89.
I was going to say, how was it, though, being back in the club and shit? I'm sure you missed
I'm
that.
I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, Chubbs. Chubby God, Chubbs went on, Blas 89, and Bubs all went on, they killed it. Whispers were there. Who else performed? I'm bugging out right now.
But instead of performing, I want to know how.
Caught in a Trap and Examine. Killed it. Killed it. Hardcore Queens, baby. And everyone was there. Royal Flush was there. It was cool. Raise the Ratchet was there. A lot of fucking hip hop and hardcore people were there. Everyone still loved. Spick performed for the first time. We did three songs, and it was total insanity.
And how excited were you to be out all night though again?
To deal with fucking Joe Fado. I thought Lito was gonna be a problem. Lito is A-okay. He just gets drunk and fucked up. Joe Fado is like an old Jewish lady.
He didn't want to play.
He's a yenta.
He didn't want to play.
Oh, he wanted to play. He's doing cocaine, running around the thing, falling down, saying the wrong word, but he killed it. Joe Fado is a legend, and he could be a dick, but he is a dick, right? But I love you, Joe Fado. Fuck you, Fado. Fucking crazy weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. I wanted to go, but dude, it was starting at like 11 o'clock at night or some crazy thing.
Yeah, it started at 10 o'clock, so you know it starts at
11. I got the store now on Fridays and shit, so I really can't fucking
this Friday, check this out. This Friday, we're doing the record release party for the video release dropping of... Party for my video that's dropping. Guidos in IROC.
I saw that.
This record came out 2017, and they did an animated... Marc Anthony... did an animated video of Guidos and IROC, one of the hardest songs. It's a freestyle song that I took from, you know, and I just made it hard, hardcore. And, you know, the video's dropping. If you see, here's the video right now. I'm showing you. We're going to drop the video on this thing. Please go on this video. Go to Danny Diablo on YouTube. Subscribe to my channel. Subscribe to Diablo's Den Podcast. But then... click on my Guidos and IROC and share it. Share it, tweet it, retweet it.
Whatever
make this
you
shit
can
viral
do, yeah,
right
well,
now.
Whatever you
I don't
can
give
do
a
with
fuck
it.
What you do. Make my cartoon viral. And it's the funniest, most craziest cartoon animated music video I have ever seen.
We will show
I destroyed it. Everyone. No one could, no one. I took everyone's video cartoons out. So I'm sorry, guys. All my friends and peers, all you rappers that can rap circles around me, my video crushes you. Bye-bye.
Bring the hoes. Time is money, so let's do these shows. Black Widow's I Rocks.
So we'll have that here. You can watch.
Can we also do Whack Attack?
I was just going to move on to Whack Attack. So yeah. Last episode, we had our new segment called
Whack Attack.
And you'll see you're now seeing the little clown logo. And
Whack Attack.
So Danny, this, as always, Whack Attack is brought to you by Static Era Records, Milford, Connecticut. Yeah. StaticEraRecords.com, at Static Era Records, Instagram. So give us this episode's Whack Attacky and tell
us this Whack Attack goes out to my boy BD from Hatebreed.
Yeah.
He's one of the nicest guys in the world. Every time I tour with BD, Hatebreed, or on a road with Hatebreed, BD and I always, Bass Mafia.
BD's the best.
And BD's a great guy. So some asshole, because a lot of these dudes, especially these metal dudes, are fucking assholes. But let's the hardcore guys that can be dicks, hip hop kids dicks, but metal dudes like Slayer fan, like, listen, it goes to the retard list. Listen, I'm sorry, I can say what I'm saying. My thing, I'm not PC, so when I say that there's a metal retardation list, it goes this: the retard fans. It goes Slayer number one, the retards love them. Pantera number two. And Hatebreed number three. So so they got the wackest, stupidest fucking fans in the world. And I don't give a, play Rage Against the Machine, dude. Like fucking retards, right? I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm talking about. If you're one of those guys, I'm sorry you're retarded. No, just be happy and be retarded. Listen to more Slayer. Besides that, one of these assholes, especially those who want a European retarded fucking fan, is even dumber. So they're like Neanderthal. So this one of these retards wrote to BD how what they want to die. Well, I want to tell that guy, suck a dick. Hatebreed is one of the best bands in the world. The first Hatebreed album is my favorite album, Satisfaction, whatever, the one I want to tour with. Jamie Hatebreed, I love everyone in Hatebreed, man. I love you motherfuckers.
We'll have a
graph. And I was going to say, what's the guy's name that wrote that to him? Tell him right now. Well, Put it on right now. Put it on Whack Attack.
You'll see the fucking message of BD posted, but it's from a guy named Oleg. O-L-E-G.
Well, Oleg, you can suck my dick and your mother sucks dick, right? And I hope she gets fucking raped by a wild bunch of fucking African dogs and hyenas.
So there you go. Hippo. That straight from you,
Zach. Shout out to Hatebreed, nigga. What's up, Jasper? I got your back, nigga.
That's this episode's Whack Attack brought to you by Static Era Records. I love the Whack Attack, man, because it really... It's almost like, if you're going to put something on public, we're going to be able to talk about it.
Fuck you, Oleg. Suck a dick.
Fuck you. You know what's funny is like, I would never, even if I, and there's mad motherfuckers I don't like, I would never write some shit.
Why would you say that?
Why?
What have you done, Oleg, besides eating potatoes and drinking vodka? What have you done?
And having no ice.
No ice, nigga.
Because you know how there's no ice in Europe ever? Like, remember in the backstage, there was never no ice.
Yeah. Oleg. Fuck you, Oleg.
Right. E, what have you been watching? Anything been going on?
Been watching is Godfather of Harlem.
What's that?
Forrest Whitaker. Amazing. It's about Bumpy Johnson and Vincent the Chin Gigante. But it's cool. It's about Harlem in the 50s.
It's a TV show. It's a TV show or movie?
No, it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay, it's
but
new.
I've been me and my girl watch it, but it's not really factual.
Oh, like they kind of like
it's very hip hop. They make it like hip hop and Bumpy Johnson great, but everyone knows the Chin Gigante. It was a real mobster.
Fictionalized
Bumpy Johnson in 2 seconds.
Yeah, like a fictionalized version.
But the Chin, Bumpy Johnson was an ill nigga, but he was nothing compared to the Chin, right? And the Mafia. So, but it's a cool little story. I like it. And Forrest Whitaker is so fucking amazing.
Yo, Forrest Whitaker is hard. I love him. He's great.
The people, everyone in this series is well acted, well written. It's fucking amazing. So shout out to everyone in that production.
So shout out, I'll have to check that out, man. I feel like I'm always saying this. I've just been falling behind on watching stuff, but Viv and I, she watches a ton of really bad reality TV.
Oh, my girl. Yeah. 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, and then we have Discovery Plus. subscription, so we watch all kinds of fucking ill shit. So I'm actually not going to say anything that we've been watching because it's just everything has been so whack. Except for the Cheapskate show is back, and I always like that. The people.
What's that about?
I don't know if you would vibe with it because you'd probably be like, I lived around these people in the Lower East Side or something. But it's like people who go and they don't want to spend 10 cents, so they don't flush the toilet.
So
all
week. Basically a whole bunch of Jewish people. Is that
No.
My whole family out there.
No.
My Uncle Sal.
No.
Sal Moskowitz and fucking all the people in my building. What are you talking about?
Extreme Cheapskate.
I'm Jewish, nigga. I can say whatever I want.
You can say whatever you want all the time.
I can say whatever the fuck I want. First of all, all these people, these Jewish people, don't say that. I make the Jewish gangster shirts. I beat down Nazis because I was Jewish, and they came in. So don't tell me if you haven't beat down a Nazi, don't talk to me, all right? You fucking little pricks, all right? All you little fucking pricks, scumbag bitches, I'll slap the shit out of you, all right? Cancel me. It's like canceling Gigi Allen. It's not gonna happen.
It can't happen, man. That can't happen. But what's fucking up? No, I just
Shabbat shalom, nigga.
It's just such a crazy show because I like that and I like Hoarders a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, Hoarders a tough watch.
Oh God, Hoarders.
Then there's a new
sad, right?
There's a new spinoff from Hoarders that just started where they go in and they clean all of it after.
Oh, they help the hoarders out?
Yo, but no, it's like they deep clean like the fucking house and shit after. Yo, yeah. It's fucking wild. Like Viv can't even, she's just like, why do you watch this shit? So you know me, man. I like all that.
I don't. It's sometimes it's so crazy that like when you get older, you just lose your mind, nigga.
Yeah.
How foul is that?
Yo, you know what's wild is like it's always kind of like there's always something tragic that happens to these people. I always feel bad watching that sets off that like it's usually like a death.
It's like watching the person who's fucking fat as fuck and he's trying to lose weight, but. He has operation, and the guy can't get out of bed. I'm like, you fat fuck.
Yeah, like, that's we watch.
No, I feel bad, but then I'm like, yo, nigga, stop eating fucking 45 chicken wings a day, nigga. Then you'll be all right.
Yeah, we were watching. Work out a little bit. What's that one called? 600-pound life or whatever. Listen, man, Discovery Plus is a dark hole that you don't want
to
go.
I need to talk to Discovery about the Danny Diablo show.
Yo, I'm telling you, man, somebody... One day that show is gonna happen because that
it is gonna happen. I got so much shit I'm gonna blow up. But don't worry, Jay. Now, they're gonna give us money, Jay. And when they give us money, we're gonna be so big.
I still want to see the Fantastic Van one.
No, listen. I got. I'm still. That COVID really fucked that up.
Yeah, no, I know. COVID
voyage. Danny Diablo's Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
That shit would
be really
sick.
Listen, if you're a millionaire and you want to dip and dabble, dibble and dabble, dribble, whatever you want to do, and give some money away and be cool, hit us up. Hit Jay up or Jay Reason up. Hit Jay Reason up.
And let's make the show happen.
Email, whatever. Yep. And we will do something. If you're a production team, you want to do something, we got a show where we want to do. And it will work out. So hit me up. I know a lot of you motherfuckers love my... the way we act together, I have an amazing show, and Jay's going to be in charge of it. So that means
let's do
it. I'm not in charge of it. That means
it'll
fuck
actually
up.
Come
if
out.
If I'm in charge of it, it'll fuck up. But Jay knows how to deal with me, so it will work. Right? So everyone out there, if you're Israeli, Jewish, Arab, whatever, you have lots of money, and you're Sheikh, have tons of money, whatever, Dubai, we'll go there. Whatever you want to do, just hit us up.
You got it.
Give us your money, and we'll make the best fucking show ever and make you multi-millionaires.
I know that there's international Danny Diablo fans, so some of you guys get in touch because we got to make that.
Yeah, hit me up, bro. I'm serious, right?
So, E,
LordEzXWorld@gmail.com.
E, show off to the camera. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, the new Spick record. Look at it. Hold on. The CD came out.
Finally.
Devilrats.com. I guess the stickers. I got, what's it called?
Bumper, like a bumper sticker kind of thing. Sick.
Bumper sticker. Like, whoa.
Sick.
Check it out. I also got patches. They sell patches, little Spick patches.
Oh, those are dope.
Right? And also, 40 test. We got the test pressing of Spick, of Spick's Versailles. Only 40 test pressing. Here's one of them. But look, fucking vinyl. It's a test press. Test press. All crazy stuff.
That's dope.
And here's one. Look at this.
Did you spray those yourself?
No. This is all crazy.
Oh, that's artwork. Yeah, it looks awesome.
I'm trying to show it, but
yeah, it's cool as fuck. Those guys always do nice job with the packaging.
Yeah, I'm saying, so go out there, devilrats.com. That's it. Just devilrats, no www, just devilrats.com.
We'll have a link.
Or go to devilrats on Instagram. Click on the link. We got mad merch. We got, look at this. I'm sorry about that. Sorry, this is, I feel like a fucking, we got mad shirts.
So our guest tonight, I'm stoked to have on. I known him, since back in the probably later 90s when I first met him. Most of our listeners probably be most familiar with Shadows Fall. But yeah. I'm an Overcast fan.
People love Overcast, B.
Yeah, Overcast is fucking sick.
Overcast, hard.
So we got Brian Fair joining us. So give us a second. We're going to get him on and come right back. All right. I'm excited to welcome Brian Fair from fucking Shadows Fall and Overcast of the fucking Diablo's Den.
Yes. Yes.
Yo, Brian.
Happy to be here, boys. Happy to see you both.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, man. Fucking how have you been, dude?
Yo, I've been good, man. I've been good. Just been chilling, you know, starting to get my old ass in shape again for the Shadows Fall reunion show coming up, man. Yo, I haven't been yelling at anyone with my kids when they get out of line, so I gotta get the throat back in shape here so I can start screaming at people again. So,
dude, talking about the Shadows Fall reunion, that was one of the things I had on my list. So let's just jump right into that, man. I'm fucking so excited. I bought my tickets for the Palladium. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have a hookup at the Palladium at this point. Come on, man. Just walk through the back door.
Here's the thing. It's not even about that, dude. It's the fact that shows are back and that I can fucking buy a ticket and that I can support a band I love. I will do that all day, whether I can get in on the list.
Mad love for that, though, for real, man.
I was so excited because, you know, obviously, dude, you and I keep in touch on social media. And, you know, I was just always curious if that was going to happen. And when I saw the announcement, man, I was fucking so excited. So, Brian, tell the listeners a little bit about how did that come together finally and why now that... You know, the timing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, we always stayed in touch. Like, even when we ended with Shadows Fall, just it was more that we stopped touring full time because of life. You know, we were still all friends, we're still all close, still family. So we've been talking about it for a while. Unfortunately, everyone else ended up in like classic thrash metal bands, so they're busy as hell. John's playing, John's playing in Anthrax. You know, Jason's playing in Overkill. And even Matt was jamming with the guys who were in Megadeth for a while. So I was waiting for like, I don't know, you know, fucking Exodus or someone to call me, but you know. So once we could, you know, we talked about trying to do it, and actually we got it going last year, and of course, just like everything else in the world, the plans got scrapped because of the pandemic and everything kind of fell apart. So this year, once we knew we could get things going again and, you know, venues were starting to open up, our good friend Scott Lee, who is actually the original manager of Shadows Fall, hell yeah, to Scott Lee. He got in touch and just, you know, made the everything happen, got the ball rolling. Everyone's schedules worked out, the planets aligned, and we're able to do it. And right now it's only one show. People keep asking if there's more. We're like, we just want to see if we get through this fucking one first, survive, and then we'll see what happens, you know.
So. That's fucking amazing. What have you been doing musically since Shadows Fall was over? What else have you been doing?
I moved to St. Louis a little while ago. My wife's originally from here, so I'm Midwest living, which for an East Coast boy was a little bit of an adjustment. But luckily, I found some dudes here in this band Hell Knight, who I started jamming with. It's way more like raw, like down-tuned punk rock shit.
It was cool to hear you sing on the music, like you said, it's just real raw is like the best example, man. With your vocals, it complements it though really well.
Yeah, you know, like it was nice to do something totally different. I didn't want to just jump into like something that sounded like Shadows Fall Junior or Part Two or something. So I've always been more of an old school hardcore head. So for me to kind of just kick it up and, you know, go 100 miles per hour all the time and and just scream my head off was a blast. It's weird. The older I get, the more brutal the music I'm making gets.
It's, no, that's the same thing with me. It's like everything I do is I'm going to be 50 years old this year. I'm still making hard-ass, ignorant music.
Fuck, yeah, exactly, totally. See, we're around in our 50s. Now I got real shit to complain about. Before, as a kid, I thought I had things to complain about. I'm like, nah, real life has smacked me in the face. Now I'm like, yo, this is, I got some real shit to say now, you know?
Yeah, it's funny, man. You know, Bri, you not to jump too much around, but you mentioned your love of hardcore, man. And that's actually how I first met you, was at the tune-in of all
Overcast.
With yep, Overcast, dude.
The tune-in was the fucking spot.
Yo, you
man.
Guys, like, you guys, listen. I want to say this. This is crazy. First of all, Don Capria from my old drummer, my ex manager, my brother was the biggest Overcast fan in the world.
He always hyped up Overcast. Always. Yo, we used to play shows back in the day with some of his other projects back in the day, man. Yeah, he's always was giving us mad love, so.
Yes,
yeah,
and he's just like, and I always would be bugged out because I would be like, that's a whole different scene. It's a weird scene. Are you from Boston?
Yeah, I was,
So I always thought you were from Pennsylvania up there. Weird, I because I don't know, like, upstate New York or something, like, there's a little, it's a weird part, like, where it's like a valley or something. It's like New York, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts all together up there. It's like weird, bro.
Yo, in the mid 90s, weird shit was coming out of that whole area, man. You know, and it was, which was good. The good thing is we actually got to play shows in places like the Tune In and out in Albany at the QE2 because we were just as fucked up as those guys. And like, wow, the other band, you know, we had to make our own scene, you know.
Yeah, if you guys had a Die Hard, I'll tell you right now, Overcast had a Die Hard. It's like, it's almost like how people look at Candiria. You know what I mean? Overcast, in your world, that's where you guys were doing your thing.
They were like our brother band too, Candiria. And it's funny, we always knew even then, we're like, God damn it, we're the band's band. You know, like all the bands loved us. All the people in the industry loved us. But like all the cool kids in the scene were like, nah, you know. So like, so we're like, you know, we always knew it. We're like, we're gonna influence a bunch of bands. We're gonna take our ideas, dumb them down just enough, you know, and get huge. So you know, it's a classic too. Like after Overcast broke up, everyone would be like, yo, when are you guys doing Overcast again? We're like, well, where were you when we were a band? You know.
Well, there's certain bands that musically that are fucking brutal and fucking. When you hear something like Overcast, you hear that shit. It's raw, but it's brutal. Candiria, the Red Chord. What's the one metal band with the M, the Mastodon, stuff like that. Like, you know, like Overcast was doing hard that style, bro.
Yeah, we were on our own shit back then, which was cool because, you know, we branched a lot of scenes. We got to play with death metal bands. We played with, you know, straight edge bands. We played with everyone. We didn't care. And but man, those were good times back then because the scene was so different where it was, you know, you had to find it. You had to stumble across it. You had to love it to make it happen. It wasn't like you could just go on Spotify and be like, show me 100 bands that sound like this.
These little bastards have it so easy.
They got it so easy, man. You go on Hate 5-6 and watch every killer band that ever existed and shit, you know, like before. You know, you may get some shitty VHS copy of like an old show, you know, like so.
Yeah,
but I'm glad I came up in that time because, man, it also prepared you when things blew up for Shadows Fall. We were ready to handle the bullshit, too. Like some of those bands that went right from the practice space on the tour bus, they weren't ready for the chaos when things
went
wrong.
No.
You know, we've seen it all, you know.
Well, and you know what, too, Brian, I think it worked a lot in a lot of the bands of that generation's favor because, like, to your point, dude, it's like, a lot of our bands, you know, Danny's bands included, kind of cultivated these fan bases that when, you know, like when Scarhead came out on Victory or Shadows Fall came out and the distribution was there, people were like, oh, that's the dude from, you know, and then it was like, you heard of, even if you hadn't gotten a chance to see or hear Overcast, and music-wise, you're like, oh, that's that dude's band. I've heard that band so much, you know?
Without a doubt, you know, that scene cred does matter when that name is attached to something, at least gives it some integrity from the beginning. You know, it's not some, like, band that was put together because they're like, you know, when we started, the idea of success was just playing out of town and getting a 7-inch out, whereas bands who came up watching Hatebreed and Lamb of God get huge...
Yeah.
Realize like, yo, I'm gonna do this to be successful.
Right.
That's the difference. We did it because we were too stupid to know any better. You know.
I'll tell you right now, Lamb of God and you guys like were brother bands at Shadows Fall. You guys fucking really as the new metal bands. Like really. I remember going to in L.A. going to the show. I was with Jamie Hatebreed, and we saw you guys play. And well, I was like, "Holy shit, these guys!" Yeah, I felt good because a dude from hardcore scene made it. But yeah. No, other people, other kids. This is the problem, people. Other kids will fucking hate that. Oh, they used to be in the scene.
Totally.
Like, no,
totally.
They're from the scene, and they're fucked up just like I'm fucked up. He's fucked up. And I'm glad he fucking made it. He paid his dues.
It should be a leg up thing, but you're right. You know, some people want to keep that shit like to themselves where you're like, well, you complain that there's no good music and people don't listen to good music. And as soon as something gets big, they get mad.
They get mad. All these people want, like, it's like when people, like, I want to hear Ice Pick. I was like, where the fuck were you when Ice Pick was together?
Yo, no, and speaking of those LA, but speaking of those LA shows, when we used to come see us back in the day, we had some times in LA, my brother. We threw it down a few times back in the day, my friend. Not a lot of sleep. Yeah. A lot of good times, though.
You know what, too, Bri, what I always thought was really cool with Overcast is the way that the legacy has been treated over the years of the band. Sure. So, like, you know, back in 2008, you guys did Reborn to Kill Again, which was awesome. It was a great way for people who hadn't heard the music be reintroduced to the bands. And then even recently, Bullet Tooth reissued the vinyls.
Yep.
That's cool.
Like, which is fucking awesome, because I think a lot of times, you know, bands from that, you know, like our generation don't care enough to, carry on that stuff and make sure it's still available. Like, was that always a conscious decision with you guys with Overcast?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of more natural. Like, honestly, we were really proud of what we did, and we thought it mattered. We thought it, like, stood the test of time. So once, you know, kind of Killswitch Engage blew up and Mike D had that platform, and when Shadows Fall blew up, we were kind of like, we can shine a little light on that stuff to people who might have missed out on it, or people who like heard, oh shit, there was a band that had guys from Killswitch Engage and Shadows Fall in it before. Yeah. They're like, oh, so they go and check it out and get stoked, you know? But now, honestly, the getting to re-release that stuff is amazing, because it was so limited. If there was vinyl releases, you know, it was so limited back then. It was so hard.
Now it's an art form, right?
That's the other thing. Now it finally looks the way we wanted to do it. The colored vinyl looks amazing. You're a big remastering sounds good.
You're a big vinyl guy, Bryce. So I'm sure I'm sure for you it was
Half of it's for me, where I'm like, yo, can we do a gatefold double release with every million colors? They're like, well, yeah, but you're not going to make any money off it because it'll cost $1 million. I'm like, whatever. Nah, I need one. You know, I need two.
I want gold flakes in my vinyl.
Yeah, exactly. No, like I put a little piece of each dread in the vinyl. That's how I make it. Each one special.
Yeah, those reissues, I was talking to shout out to Josh Grabel who reissued those and told him. We carried a bunch of those at the retail shop. Sold right out of them. They look fucking great. And again, man, I was it's just cool that for people who weren't familiar, to your point, dude, to re-find out that band, because to me, man, I have so many memories of seeing you guys play, even like you earlier said, with every kind of band, man. You guys would play with like Follow Through, who was like a straight edge Youth of Fate type band,
everyone,
and then
yeah.
play with
yeah,
like,
that's cool.
You know, play with like Ground Zero.
Way to do it.
Yeah, play with like, you know, Ground Zero, who was like more in line with you guys. And it was really fucking cool, man. And I always, like I said, I think watching bands like Overcast and, you know, like all just the variety of living in Connecticut, man, got me into so much fucking awesome stuff.
One of the cool things about the Connecticut scene and even the New England scene in general at that time was the shows were mixed up. There was a lot of mixed bills. You'd have grindcore bands playing with hardcore bands, playing with death metal bands, playing with pop punk bands. It didn't matter.
Yep.
Like the tune in was classic for that, because Fernando would throw every band on that he could and add 10 locals, you know. I loved it because we would play with straight edge bands, and sometimes you'd get those kids who are like, oh, keep your metal out of my hardcore or whatever, you know, like keep your chocolate out of my peanut butter shit. But like you try and win those kids over, that would actually motivate me to go harder, play harder, because if you're just playing to people who are already part of your scene and into that, you know, it's easy. It's like, you know, I like to try and win over those weird audiences, and Shadows Fall did that too, where we wanted to play with all those new metal bands in the late 90s, early 2000s, so we could blow them off the stage with some sweep picking and mosh parts, you know.
Yeah.
you know what's cool also, that when I saw you guys, you know, he's like, I used to go up to Poughkeepsie a lot. And that scene loved you.
Chance was great, man.
And later on, I was just so happy that Shadow Fall, got like Overcast was big, but Southport got a budget behind it
and got
a record company behind it. I was like, good. See what happens? That you deserve that.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Well, thank you.
I was like happy that you like it was over the Southport. I'm like, yo, Overcast is dope, but yo, Southport is his own thing to reckon with, bro. You were, listen, I'm telling you right now, it was like you, Lamb of God, God Forbid, all these crazy bands that came out at the same time, and you guys were fucking killing it. Trivium. These bands are cool, but a lot of these bands are like, they had like one person in it. Where you guys, I knew where you guys would come from, and once you did your videos and you put out there who you were to show the whole shit, kids love that shit, bro.
We always said, man, we're like, if we could get in front of people, we're gonna win them over and let them know that metal's still alive, especially in the States. Yeah. One of the big turning points was that Ozfest 2003, where the second stage was half bands like us, Chimera, E-Town Concrete, you know, Sworn Enemy. And then a bunch of new metal bands who were on major labels. And man, like, we just went out there and smashed every night, you know, Killswitch.
That's amazing. The crowd saw
it. They're like, what is this? Like, we liked heavy music, but we didn't even know this was here. And the response really, it fueled us, because we're like, we knew it. We knew if we could get in front of people, get on MTV2, do that shit, we can make it happen. So, and it did, man. It was a crazy ride, man, for real. It was a good time.
I'm happy. You know, it's going to make you laugh right now, because I always talk shit and everything like this. I'm a fucking horrible, I'm a Knicks fan. Always been a Knicks fan. I'm a human fan. Check this out. This is the funny thing about this. People ask me, who's your favorite ball players in the world? The top two. And people get mad at me. My top two ball players is Dominique Wilkins and Larry Bird.
There you go.
People say Jordan. I was like, Larry Bird would kill Jordan on a one-on-one. Dominique Wilkins would kill Jordan on a one-on-one.
And that's the thing.
No one's like Bird. I
grew up in the glory years of Bird, so I was in the Garden in the '86 championship run. You know, that's so I was hooked from day one. You know, like growing up watching him and McHale and Parrish and them play together. So, you know, what's funny is Ewing, though, was one of my favorite players of all time.
Ewing was my favorite.
I was a big Hoyas fan, so, like, I love Georgetown, so I was always
Love Syracuse. I used to like Sherman Douglas, Ronnie Cicely, the Coleman, stuff like that. Yep.
So I'll give respect. I'm always going to bleed green and be a Celtics fan for life, but I'll give my respect to the Knicks.
I love the fact that Larry Bird looks like a fucking redneck, and he doesn't give a fuck.
Not only did he talk shit, he'd tell you what he's going to do. He'd be like two dribbles to the left, shot, bucket.
He would be like, go fuck your mother.
Yeah, just, it's so great. I wish they would have been mic'd up back then like now. He was just annihilating people.
He was like so ugly, he didn't give a fuck. He would drink all night and go right there. play ball. Yeah, he would kill everyone.
Dude, imagine him being talking about load management with these new athletes who take 6 days off. You know, Larry Bird can't even stand up. He's laying on his back during timeouts and then goes out there and drops 30.
No one could stop him, and no one realized that he was an amazing, amazing defensive ball player, amazing rebounder.
Yep.
He was a triple threat at all times.
Knew everything, so hell yeah, to the Bird.
Bird.
Yo, shout out Larry Bird. Brian, before we jump into Shadows Fall, man, I want to. There's a story, a Connecticut show, infamous Overcast Connecticut show, where you didn't show up. Do you know the show I'm talking about? Can you tell the story and settle for like?
It was with Hatebreed
at in West Haven, Connecticut, but the band played anyways.
There's only two shows I've ever missed in my life, and I think both were in Connecticut. One was completely not my fault, where our guitar player's girlfriend couldn't find the train station we were at and just like never showed up. But Mike D had shown up and loaded in merch, realized halfway through the show that we weren't going to make it, and had to like, after selling hundreds of dollars worth of shit, had to dip out the back because he knew we weren't playing. So, and you know Mike D, he's a nervous motherfucker, so he was panicking. The next time, no, literally that one, I got actually arrested on my way home from a fish show the night before.
All right, that's what I heard, but I didn't know if that was true.
Yeah,
or not.
Look at me. I raged mad hippie shows back in the day because I grew up loving hardcore and loving metal, but like the party was at the Dead Show and the Fish Show. Sure. Man, I'm sorry, man. Better Herb, you know, beautiful women, like all just
better hacky sacks.
Yeah, exactly. So I was in a car on my way home, and the classic, I fell asleep in the back. We get pulled over. The, you know, dudes are flashing the light in the back. There's all this beer and stuff in the back. Not a single one of us is over 21. Oh, so, you know, they start going to the car. He grabs my backpack. So what do you got? I'm like, I mean, what do you want? You know? So luckily, you know, only spent the night, you know, overnight there, but missed the show the next day where the dudes were already on their way out. And I'm like,
from a fan perspective, I think Yvonne was there. Shout out, Yvonne. I think we were like, I don't know, 17, 18. We were really excited for Overcast. And this is like, you know, there's no cell phones. And this is just like you go on a message board and it says Overcast is playing. And, you know, obviously we knew Jamie. So we knew that the show was happening. And it was at this fucking weird place called Rosie's, which was like an Italian restaurant. And
damn,
the band is there, and they end up playing just a full instrumental set, and it was fucking pretty cool. Like,
I'm glad they did that. At least, you know, I'm glad they did that because, you know, I felt so bad, but I'm like, yo, I'm literally handcuffed to a pole.
No, it's we've all been there, but I'd always heard that was the fish thing, so I not to put you on the spot, but I had to ask because I love that.
I beat all the charges too. Awesome, so it's all good. Continue with that. Out of finding and moved on. It was good
that's
stuff,
all that so. Matters. So Brian, tell us
story.
About
yeah.
Brian, tell us a little bit about, so Overcast is winding down and then you go in and do Shadows Fall right away, or was there anything in between, or what?
You had something else, you did something else, right?
Yeah, you know, I played in a band from Boston where I played drums, but the main thing that honestly Shadows Fall, the transition was so fast because before the feedback died from the last note at the tune-in from the last Overcast show, Matt Pashon was on stage asking me if I wanted to join Shadows Fall while I was still covered in sweat and trying, you know, like,
shit.
I was like, he was an eager motherfucker who had a plan. So, like, I was like,
yo, thank God.
You know, I was like, let me change my shirt and we'll talk. You know, like, give me a second. So, you know, he was pretty, you know, right on top of it. And I already knew all those dudes. I knew the first record pretty well. We'd played a bunch of shows together. And then he sent me two new songs, and it was Serenity and First Noble Truth off of Of One Blood. And I was like, oh, if this is where you guys are going, I'm in.
Yeah.
Hard as fuck, right?
Yeah, and that was it. We jammed a bunch. We recorded a demo, sent that out to Century Media, and that was it. We were on tour for the next 10 years right from there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was a whirlwind, dude.
You recorded with Zeus. Shout out Zeus, who's a friend, yeah, a very
Zeus.
Good friend of
hard,
mine.
Zeus, hard!
Zeus of the mighty Doom Nation. Never forget the Doom Nation. According to him, he invented rap metal, so, you know.
Shout out Zeus. Well, tell me about recording that first record, Brian, like, and just that impact. Because again, man, as a fan of yours, it was fucking awesome to hear you on something like that. And then to see part of a machine like Century Media, like Izak was saying, that could get the music out there. What was that like for you, man? Like, were you excited to go and do this? Like, it seemed like you said, you're on tour for forever. So, plan.
It was pretty crazy. Like, recording with Zeus is amazing. Like, that dude's, he was like at that point, like a sixth member of the band.
Yeah, he plays guitar, bass, he does everything,
right? Yeah, he did everything so good. And we were really prepared musically, but that was our first time recording a full length of that kind of like level.
Yeah.
And Zeus took all the money that Century Media gave him and put it into his studio, which also shows you that he wasn't fucking around. He was trying to get out of his closet and make this thing for real too. So, we all kind of had a goal to like, let's blow some minds with this record. And man, it took off from there right away. Recording, it was a blast, but like, it was still shoestring budget where I recorded, I think, all the vocals in 2 days, Yeah, you know how it goes, you know, where you're like, you know, I hear about these people taking months to make a record. I'm like, man, they give me like 6 hours to record 12 songs, you know? And I really pushed myself on that one to not have it sound just like Overcast. I wanted to, you know, push the singing vocals a little more.
The singing was a different thing.
Yeah, just try some more melody, push myself a little bit. You know, they were writing stuff that demanded kind of hooks and stuff like that. So I had to, you know, get out of my comfort zone. Luckily, though, at that point, you know, when you're writing your first record, you got a million ideas.
Right.
And they were flowing. They were flowing like crazy. Second record comes around with expectations. You're like, yo, okay, wait. now we gotta write some hits, you know.
it gets crazy as I get older. I know what I want now. I know like I know what's going to work and not going to work. So even if I'll try new things also, and I love working with different people and different engineers. You learn something new when you're working with a different person in the studio. So you learn new tricks and all that stuff. But I know where I'm comfortable recording. So you mean? So I know what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Well, it is funny when you've been doing this. Well, it is. You get in that environment, and you're like, it feels like home. You know, you get in front of that mic. You know, you've been doing it for decades. It's just that comfort zone. Where even like getting ready for this reunion show, you get a little nervous. Then you're like, the muscle memory kicks in. It's like it's just in you still. The fire's still there. So, but yeah, man, I really was excited to kind of get with Shadows Fall, try some new shit, and really just the first time where we, you know, had a label behind you. You had, you know, some budgets. You had some tours opportunity. What's crazy is our first tours were so eclectic. We went back-to-back tours. The first one was a death metal tour where it was us, Chrissian, Cataclysm, Sweden. Can't believe I can't remember their name. It's going to drive me crazy. And then the next tour was King Diamond.
Oh, no shit.
So we went right to old school amazing. Metal.
Oh, I'm dude.
Dismember was the other band on the last tour.
Dismember, shout out to Dismember.
King Diamond right afterwards. Then the next tour was Glassjaw.
That's like some crazy fucking musical fucking
We went from death metal to King Diamond to Glassjaw. So it within like 3 months, we covered every possible heavy music scene we could.
I would pay money to take a picture of King Diamond and Daryl Palumbo next year.
That'd be so good.
What was it touring with King Diamond, man?
It was crazy. It was crazy. He was the coolest
smoking
dude.
Cigarettes?
But that dude, like, he wouldn't let AC on the bus and stuff, so the rest of the band is just smoking.
Smoking cigarettes.
Just out of the back window, no AC on, because he's got to protect his throat, yet he's smoking. And what's great is they had kind of like, you know, I think they're used to some bands who were, like, super fans of the King, so, like, we got all these rules of the day one, and we're like, you know, we're not going to bother the King. We don't care, whatever. So he, right before we go on one time, he goes on one time. We're standing in the hallway. I think it was at the Key Club, and he's smoking a cigarette out back. And the knife, our old drummer, just walks up and just taps him on the chest, like, "Yo, you got an extra one for me?" Bums a smoke off him as he's walking on stage.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Tour manager's like losing it, and King just smiles. He's like, "These dudes don't give a shit." Like, you know, he's like, "They're cool. They're cool." Like,
he's cool. I met him with Josta, and I went in the back. It was me and Josta, and he was smoking. He had a towel around his neck, and I'm like, and he looked like he was like, it looked like a vampire movie.
There you go. Yeah, so, well, he's half vampire, half lounge singer. He's like just chilling out there with his red wine afterwards, you know. But you know, man,
I remember one time I went in the back. The only two times two people really bugged me out, like it's like I went in the back at Ozfest, and I went back at Marilyn Manson's thing with Josta. He's like, "Oh, Marilyn, this is Ezek," and we're talking. He had a big thing of cocaine, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Do you want some, Ezek?" And he goes, "No!" He grabbed me, had to get me out of there. He's like, "You don't even do this." No, if he would have let me and that guy back there,
what happened. That Ozfest 2003, I remember Marilyn just every time you go back, "Would you like some drugs?" You know, just that vibe. It's like, well, you're like, "Well, yeah." I mean, but yeah.
Wow, that's
cool shit.
That's great. Yeah. So, Bryce, you start touring and you start doing, I mean, Shadows Fall is taking off. Let's talk about The Art of Balance, which was like, to me, it feels like that was like the first, would you say, was that like the. Felt the next level for the band, kind of.
Without a doubt.
That's tour bus money.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what that record. We had our first real video come out. We hit the tour bus.
Yeah,
that's when we started. The shows were getting bigger, and then the Ozfest opportunity came along. And next thing you know, we sold over 100,000 copies of that on Century Media, and
that's
it kept going up.
Crazy,
and you know, and they were putting money behind us because they had never. That was the first time that had happened for a U.S. band for them. So that really changed things, where we realized not only could, you know, we were scraping by to get by before, we're like, all right, we can like do this on another level. We can get a crew together. Production started stepping up on the shows. We started taking shit a little more seriously, you know, like really trying to like hit every show as hard as we could, you know, like we everyone knows Shadows Fall. We party, we had a good time, but we also realized we had an opportunity and we didn't want to.
Yeah,
float.
You did it.
We wanted to go crush, you know, so.
Oh, you guys toured a set like all the time, and you had to. You had to, like, you know what happens. A new band comes in, and everyone forgets about you.
That's, exactly. And we knew where we won. You know, like, the record we thought was great. The videos are great, but we knew we were going to win people on stage every night. We get in front of you. We'll open for anybody, and we're going to come for your people. Like, that was our goal. That was our mentality, and it grew like crazy.
I mean,
but also, that was when the whole scene kind of blew up, too, you know? So it was great to be a part of that shit.
Are you going to ever do more shows with Overcast? Like,
hopefully, you know, we would love to. It's scheduling is always the toughest thing. We actually had a show scheduled last year too that had to get canceled. I think we were, and it was gonna be us and Poison the Well, which I was so fucking stoked about, and then it all fell apart. But so hopefully we can do something again next year. So, but I gotta get through this Shadows Fall one. I gotta remember all these damn songs. I'm googling my own fucking lyrics.
I want to go back.
That's when you know you're old. You know?
I want to go back to Shadows Fall really quick. So, so Brian, like you were saying, so obviously Art of Balance is fucking huge, and the tours are growing, and then obviously that shows off more with War Within. It has the, you guys have the infamous half gold plaque.
Yeah, half gold. Wait, I gotta get it.
That's my favorite thing. So for those who haven't seen it, Century Media
with half gold.
Half gold, 250,000. There it is, right there.
That's hard.
That's so awesome, man.
Yeah. So yeah, we sold you know, I think it ended up doing close to 300,000 plus or so, but when
amazing.
It hit 250,000, they sent us the plaque with the half gold, because we're like, I don't know if we'll ever squeak it all the way up, but you know, at least we got halfway there.
Fuck it.
That was always Josh's favorite thing when he'd walk into Zeus's and see the half gold.
Dude, I love it, man. I'll have to put up a photo too of it, but it just goes to show, man, that I think you know what, man, with streaming and the way music's consumed now, dude, fuck, man, that shit will go gold, I think.
Gold?
I'm sure.
Not yet, but I'm gonna go start just downloading it myself with like on repeat, you know, and just till it hits there. So
yeah, tell people just tell people to start streaming it. That's awesome, man. I'm really excited that we got to talk about those records, because they were so fucking massive, man, and the scene was,
and the production was, the production of all your music, you know, Overcast through Shadows Fall, production's impeccable.
Always
bro.
Sick.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
Your vocals, the drums and bass, always. And the guitars, always on point, man. And you can't, a lot of bands will be like, oh, this recording sucked. Remember, you guys always had great recordings. Thank you, man.
The one thing I thought that was cool about Shadows Fall was that the production was always very accessible to whatever you listen to. So if you were like a hardcore kid, it didn't have that super triggery. And that's, you know, shout out again to Zeus and what a fucking amazing
That's him knowing the line between that stuff where it's like, yeah, you know, we weren't a death metal band. So to trigger everything like crazy would have killed some of the natural feel of Jay's drumming, because he's got some swing to him. But we wanted to keep the crunching guitars and keep it heavy, but have it just sound like real and warm. We didn't want to sound like a machine. We wanted to sound like a band.
Plus your voice makes it very soulful. You mean so?
Yeah. I'm such an untrained singer. Like I just yelling my ass off and singing like in a weird way. So like, yeah, he didn't try to like auto-tune the life out of it, you know.
And that's what gives it such a timeless feel. Like I said, man, I feel like you could listen to that record literally today and it sounds still fresh and new.
It's funny, I was talking about this with Schleybaum from Darkest Hour, where he's like when we were talking about doing the show together, he's like, I think you guys are turning the corner where that sound is going to be cool again. He's like, because you know the 90s just came back a little while ago, now the early 2000s got to come back too.
All that big pop punk shit is back, you know, like I keep saying
so it's right around the corner, you know?
Yeah, everything's coming back, man, you know. And
we gotta do like a hate breed Shadows Fall Scarhead tour.
Fuck yeah, man. Could you imagine trying to convince promoters to do that back in the day? I mean, like, you're all going to die by the end of that tour. Like, no one's going to survive, you know? Now we're all older and wiser, and, you know, we would get through that. Shit, half the people we used to party with are afraid to party anymore.
Right.
You know?
So.
we all have curfews now.
Yeah, exactly. No shit. That's, I'm up later than usual right now. My kids are probably wondering why I'm still awake.
No, and we're not going to keep you too much longer, Brian.
I'm just kidding, man.
I did want to talk about Hell Knight Band a little bit more, which we touched on in the beginning. Now that Shadows Fall is playing, are you guys going to try to do some shows? I mean, obviously, I know you're not touring with that or anything, but do you think that that might ever go out of state or play a little bit outside?
I hope so. You know, the Hell Night stuff's been so much fun, and it's been I think we're such a killer live band, but we're all kind of, you know, been trapped locally these days. And we're playing our first show again in August. Which
you guys did
I'm
a live stream,
about.
Right?
Yeah, we did a live stream with, which was crazy because, man, this production company did it. So, dude, it was more lasers than like Studio 54. It looked insane. And it was a lot of fun, man. And so I'm psyched to play with those guys live again. I would love to get out and probably do some like long weekend type of shit. You know, I would love to come out and do like an East Coast short run or something
like
that.
Yeah, like for three-day weekend.
Yeah, that's the way. And even I hope that happens even with Shadows Fall down the road. We'll see. I doubt we'll never tour full time again, but you know, if this show goes well, who knows? We'll see, you know, where it goes from there. And I would love to maybe do some either festivals or long weekends.
I think that when people get older, we deserve that.
I was just going to say, that's
to
the
go
beauty.
Play a festival, have a great fucking weekend, take our fucking wives out there.
That's exactly. That's the thing. What I'm most excited about this reunion show is my kids get to see me be cool at least
once.
That's
awesome.
You know, yeah. They've seen the videos, they've seen that, but I'm like, yo, daddy was cool before he was just being your servant, you know?
Well, that's what I think, you know, like Ezek said, man, for both of you guys have put so much into this underground movement and culture, man, that, you know, man, fuck, like, Shadows Fall doesn't need to tour, you know, fucking for 6 weeks. It's like, you know, there's enough major markets and there's enough venues and stuff, and there's enough ways to go see a band that if you want to go see it, you can go see something, you know?
Well, and you see it with a lot of bands, like, whether it's, you know, the Cro-Mags will, you know, pop in for a weekend here or there, or you'll see bands just fly down to Florida and do a weekend like that. It's like some of the older bands are realizing, like, hey, we don't need to go and kill ourselves for a 10-week death march like we used to, you know?
Fuck that.
We're so crazy that we used to do that.
Dude, when I think back of the miles and just the, oh, man, it's crazy
I did 2 months, months on the road in Europe. And back in
Europe, that's the equivalent of 30 years.
In 95, before 95.
Just living in squats, you know, and shit.
It was horrible.
Sitting in a van where the seats don't even recline, much less like somewhere to sleep. Staying in a loft somewhere in Germany where all the windows are painted black.
One time I slept in a hostel, punk rock hostel, and I slept on a dog bed.
Oh, yeah,
dog
exactly. Man. That was the way, man. That was the way. It's crazy, man.
Oh my god!
And we loved it. And we loved every bit of it. We were filthy fucking animals.
Fuck, man. Well, on that note, dude, we're gonna wrap up. Brian, I want to thank you so much, man, for sharing your stories.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much, my brother.
Man, it's my pleasure. And, yo, Danny, it's so good to see you killing the fucking social medias out there. Keep it real out there. Let these motherfuckers know. You got to keep them all on blast.
Love you, brother. Thank you so much. Shout out for the house, baby.
Yeah, so, Brian, everybody, make sure you keep up with Brian on Instagram. Brian, what's your handle really quick? Just shout out to the...
Brian Shadfall. So on Twitter, Instagram, all that shit. So yep,
I'll have that over here. I don't think there's tickets left for.
There's a few tickets left. They're going fast. Okay. I think we're in the bottom chunk, but it's gonna sell out it's going now. So
this will be out next week. So you if you guys haven't bought your fucking tickets, like I said, man, do that shit. Because you can, because you can support a band being back, because it's fucking Shadows Fall, and it feels good to buy
shows are back.
Shows are back.
Shows are back. Metal, bro.
Metal. Yeah. So once again, I want to thank Brian for joining us tonight. I want to give a shout out to everybody who has been subscribing to the newsletter.
Thank
and
you,
YouTube
everyone.
And
thank
all
you,
stuff.
Brian, again, bro.
Thanks, Brian, again. That's a wrap, guys. Dude, thank you so much.
Much love.
We will see you on the next episode.
The Album's Dead Podcast. Shout out for Overcast in the house. Brian's back, everyone. Laugh. Love and happiness.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.